From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Hey, before we begin this episode, I want to tell you about an amazing event from our sponsor. Listen, do you want to learn how to go from good to great to unstoppable? Friday, September 28th through Sunday the 30th, invest in yourself and buy a ticket for Relentless MV, a one-of-a-kind exclusive event at Lambert's Cove Inn on Martha's Vineyard, where world-class motivators will help you gain the mental edge to push yourself to the next level and maximize your potential. World-renowned trainer Tim Grover, retired Navy SEAL David Goggins, tech entrepreneur and fear guru Patrick Sweeney, and an elite lineup of performance experts will share how they've gained the mental edge that's taken them to the next level. They also have a very special guest, Red Sox great and Hall of Fame pitcher Pedro Martinez. It's a great event to learn, become inspired, and to network with the other A-player attendees. Both weekend and day passes are available, and as a listener of this podcast, you get a special deal. Use the promo code SOLVERS to receive $500 off. Visit RelentlessMV, Relentless, the letters M and V.com for more information. Buy now, there are limited tickets available. All right, on with the show. Sometimes the things that seem the simplest in business turn out to be the hardest. That's one of the great mysteries of business, isn't it? You never know exactly where the fire is going to start. Never know what the struggle will be. Like, here's an example. Say you're Dunkin' Donuts and you want to replace your styrofoam cups with paper cups. Seems simple enough, right?
It's a lot more complex of a process and a decision than, frankly, I had anticipated way back when.
That's Dunkin' Donuts Chief Operating Officer Scott Murphy, who is offering something of an understatement here. This seemingly simple change would take the brand a full decade to make, and not for lack of trying. Oh, they tried. They were committed. But like I said, sometimes simple things in business can just be exceptionally hard. Dunkin' announced in February of 2018 that it would replace all styrofoam by the year 2020. And on this episode of Problem Solvers, we're going to tell the inside story of how that change came to be. Because it is a crazy tale of lids and prototypes and focus groups and convening of rivals and a Maui hang loose. And through it all, I think you'll gain a real appreciation for just what it takes to make change and make it at scale. So, grab a coffee and sit back. This one's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll get into it all right after the break. Payroll and benefits are hard, especially for small businesses. I mean, who has the time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations? Nobody running a small business, that's who. And old-school payroll providers just aren't built for the way you work today. But Gusto is. It's making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small business. In fact, 9 out of 10 users say Gusto is easier to use than other payroll solutions, and 4 out of 5 customers actually reduce payroll errors after switching to Gusto. If you want to see what people are saying, Gusto says to just Google the company. That's how confident they are that you'll see people singing their praises. You don't get that with most payroll providers. Most small businesses don't have an HR expert, but you don't need one to use Gusto. With great software and great service, you can focus on your business, not payroll and paperwork. To help support this show, Gusto is offering you, our listeners, an exclusive limited-time deal. Sign up today and get 3 free months once you run your first payroll. Just go to gusto.com/problem solvers. That's gusto, gusto.com/problem solvers.
And now, our second sponsor.
If you've ever sent an email to customers, then you know this is not as simple as like sending an email. It's not sending an email. You need the right email marketing platform, one that's actually designed with your type of organization in mind. That's what Emma is. It puts its customers first, offering powerful email marketing with a personal touch. With Emma, you'll have everything you need to connect your data, build your audience, and do your most successful marketing ever. And how do they do it? With their easy-to-use platform, which makes advanced functionality accessible to everyone on your team, no technical skills required. You can even connect Emma with the services you count on to run your business, like Salesforce and Google Analytics. Not to mention, Emma's award-winning team is always ready to support you on your email marketing strategy, design, list migration, and more. So, put the power of email experts behind your marketing. Request a customized demo of Emma's email marketing platform today at myemma.com. Again, that's myemma, E-M-M-A.com. All right, we're back. So this story actually comes to us from Alyssa Jacoby, who reported it for the July-August issue of Entrepreneur Magazine. And when her draft came in, I said, oh man, this is like such a blast. We need to make this into a podcast too. So what you'll hear for the rest of this episode is Alyssa, our reporter, telling you the story from the magazine, along with audio from her interview with Dunkin' Donuts. All right, here's Alyssa.
In New England, it is often said, Dunkin' Donuts is religion. Not only does it have a rock star reputation for consistency, the chain still uses the original coffee blend established by founder Bill Rosenberg more than 60 years ago. It's also egalitarian, the sort of place where your car salesman grandfather and your techie nephew might run into Patriots owner Bob Kraft, all out for their morning Dunks run. This universal quality is part of what has helped the brand engender a ritualistic loyalty and retain a distinctly local vibe, even as it has expanded to more than 12,500 stores in 46 countries. It is also why Dunkin' does not take change lightly. This is not to say it hasn't made innovations over the years. You don't get this big without moving forward. But change is often slow, says COO Scott Murphy. It requires uber communication with guests and inevitably results in an onslaught of hate mail anyway.
We have such loyal customers that are coming four or five times a week that this is part of their ritual. And when we don't get it right, and when get it right means, you know, maybe we give them the wrong flavor coffee, or we don't give them a, we give them a donut instead of a bagel, or we change their cup, we change something, it's a big deal.
Last year, for instance, when the chain announced it would be replacing its fan favorite coffee colada with something, in the words of then SVP of marketing Chris Fuqua, better, called the frozen iced coffee, customers accused it of basically ruining everything. Which brings us to the cups. About 10 years ago, Dunkin' Donuts execs began talking seriously about ditching the foam cups most stores were still using for most medium, large, and extra large hot drinks in favor of something more sustainable. Foam had endured for many reasons, and Dunkin' used a lot of it, about a billion cups each year. Franchisees loved foam because it was cheap and light, 94% air. Customers loved foam because it was easy on the hands and kept hot drinks hot, and when holding a plastic iced coffee cup inside, cold drinks cold. Everyone, it seemed, loved foam. Except they didn't. Foam had also become what Murphy calls a veto vote from the younger market. Some communities and college campuses had started banning it, and more were coming soon. It was time to find an alternative. Murphy, who was VP of global supply chain back then, didn't want to ditch the foam cups merely for perception, though. He wanted to move to something just as good, if not better. But he didn't know what that was or how to get it, or if it even existed.
It's a lot more complex of a process and a decision than, frankly, I had anticipated way back when. And even as new people join the company, they very simply say, oh, why don't we just go to a paper cup?
That's what Karen said.
Karen Raskoff, Chief Communications and Sustainability Officer, was one of those people.
I first came here, and then they said, well, why don't you ask that? We're going to have a meeting on the cup day. And I walked in, and there's like 15 people sitting in there, and I'm like, oh, come on, how complex can this be?
As it turns out, pretty hard. While paper cups might have appeared to be greener than foam, most on the market, including the ones Dunkin' used, had plastic or wax linings that prevented leaking, but also hindered recycling. They cost more, too, and didn't perform nearly as well as their foam counterparts. What's more, the paper cup Dunkin' used for its small hot drinks did not accommodate Murphy's preferred lid, which is resealable, not just reclosable, and had taken a very long time to perfect. He is very proud of this lid.
You can actually tip our cup over. I don't recommend it, but it all stays.
Any new cup, as far as he was concerned, would have to accommodate this lid or work with one that was just as good. Dunkin's paper espresso cups, meanwhile, required a cardboard comfort sleeve that proved a nuisance for mobile customers.
You put them in your cup holder in your car. You go to pull it out. The sleeve stays, at least in my car, the sleeve stays in the car. And it's just a very clumsy, it's not a good experience.
Also, if you're having a hard time keeping track of all these cups and lids, so are they.
If you include the sleeve too, we've got 11 SKUs in our system to serve our hot drinks, which is a little crazy.
Murphy tasked supply chain manager Joseph Helyar, who eventually earned the very Massachusetts nickname Joey Cups, with finding viable options for a single replacement cup that could be used in four sizes for all hot drinks. The ideal cup would be recyclable, compostable, or otherwise very sustainable, keep coffee hot and hands cool, work with the resealable lid, and not cost franchisees too much. Raising coffee prices to pay for the new cups was not an option. Over the next 10 years, Helyar met weekly with the Dunkin' sustainability team and reported findings once a month to Murphy's operations team and the marketing team. They saw dozens of options and either focus grouped or tested the best 15. There were paper cups with external sleeves and paper cups with internal sleeves, and with both compostable and non-compostable linings. A recyclable plastic polypropylene cup market tested in New York City in anticipation of the city's 2015 foam ban, which was eventually struck down but reinstated this spring, was rejected because the lid was different.
It had a different lid, and consumers had a real problem with that.
They held focus groups about totally different topics during which they served hot coffee just to watch people interact with potential cups. Murphy became obsessed with the cup management process, which told him whether or not a cup was any good.
You end up holding it, but then after a few seconds, it starts to get a little too hot, so you put it in your left hand, okay? And you kind of let your right hand cool, and then you switch again, and then you end up doing the sort of Maui hang loose where you put your thumb on the top of the lid and your pinky on the bottom of the cup.
Any test cup that resulted in a Maui hang loose did not go any further. Murphy did not want his customers to have to solve the problem of cups that were too hot to hold. He wanted them to have a cup they could hold with one hand the entire time. There were other non-starters, like the cup made out of a recycled water bottle someone was creating for the airline industry.
It was very light, and so we're exploring this, but what they couldn't do is make hard edges. So the bottom of the cup was almost beveled. It was kind of round,
yeah.
And while it stood up, it was like a wee blow. Like it and I remember, this is where I go home and tell my wife, this is what I do for a job. You know, just like 10 highly paid people around a conference table, just kind of poking at the cup a little bit to see if it could pass the tip test.
It couldn't. Helyar and his team were regularly sent suggestions and prototypes, the best or most entertaining of which they shared with leadership.
Remember the edible cups that were made out of fungus?
We did get excited about that.
We've had lids, we've had cups that they literally claimed you could just throw in the Charles River and they would disintegrate, they hope, within 90 days.
And on it went. In 2009, as an interim solution, Dunkin' reduced the foam in its medium cups. In 2010, the company teamed up with competitors Starbucks and Tim Hortons, which were also wrestling with the environmental impact of their cup usage, to share prototypes and ideas at a cup summit held at MIT. For three consecutive years, the companies invited manufacturers, recyclers, NGOs, academics, raw material suppliers, and others from the food and beverage business to talk about possible answers to the problem of packaging, as well as the limitations of recycling. The biggest hurdle was that many of the more sustainable solutions could not be created in the volume these companies needed, while many recycling programs were unable to process that many cups even if they were recyclable. The summit was eventually discontinued. In mid-2015, one of Murphy's paper suppliers merged with the manufacturer of his beloved lid, a company he declines to name. Sensing an opportunity, he issued them a challenge. Make us a sustainable, high-performance paper cup that can work with the lids we love. The firm accepted. It took them 2 years to perfect the result, an affordable, double-walled paper cup that's easy on the hands. A layer of air sandwiched between two layers of responsibly sourced paper provides nearly foam-level insulation, better than a single wall and a sleeve. It can be made in four sizes. The reclosable lid is a perfect fit on all of them. The reaction from consumer feedback groups was positive, so Murphy moved forward. He toured around to different franchises to do a cup show, in which he poured coffee into the new cup, told franchisees to drink from it, and asked them how it felt.
Which, because it hit on all the criteria that we talked about, sort of cost, performance, yep, environmental, and it was with a trusted manufacturer that we knew that could scale up. So everything, and we got to keep our existing lid. So all of that fell into place for the first time.
Now they just had to tell the customers. In February, Dunkin' Donuts introduced its new double-walled paper cup and announced it would replace all foam cups by 2020, with rollout to begin this spring. Reaction, says Razkoff, has been mostly positive, though of course for now, the elimination of foam is mostly theoretical. But there's already one reason to worry. In early market tests of foamless stores, Murphy says they uncovered some crew members hoarding cases of foam to serve the regulars.
For every person out there that's the quote-unquote millennial that won't drink out of foam and wants to make the environment a better place, there's also you know, my father, who's a veteran, who thinks it's the best cup in the world and saved that foam cup and uses it to store nails in his basement.
There is also a segment of consumer extremely devoted to double cupping or requesting a foam hot cup to put their plastic iced coffee cup inside of. A practice, Murphy says, started in Rhode Island and has spread to a few other nearby markets, as well as to some parts of Florida. Rhode Island is one of Dunkin's biggest iced coffee markets, and the practice is so widespread that some stores will automatically include a hot cup with every iced coffee order. Solutions to this practice, including branded koozies and a reusable mug program, have not curbed the demand.
And I often get tasked with, how do we make the iced, the cold cup not sweat? And, you know, my answer to that always is, you're asking me to change physics, right? Because it's really hard.
As a result, some customers have been taking the initiative. Diana Goodine, a busy mom of four and a daily Dunkin' customer in suburban Rhode Island, began to stockpile foam cups the day the brand announced the news. Goodine says she's tried the koozies, but they make her cup wobble. Her brother-in-law, who plans to install a permanent foam cup in his car, says that wrestling the sleeve onto his iced coffee is like trying to get it into a wetsuit. Dunkin' has a fix for that.
As goofy as this idea sounds, half koozies, so they're like, they're about an inch or two tall. So they don't go up the full cup, but they prevent sort of that condensation ring that happens on your desk. It's almost like a coaster.
Raskoff says that much of the focus now is on how to get parts of New England, and especially Rhode Island, prepared.
We have a whole group of people that are working on exactly that.
They don't know if they'll warn customers about the final foam date, or if instead they'll cut them off cold turkey. Some franchisees have asked if they can please tell customers in the month leading up to the transition to save their foam cups. Murphy is hoping double cupping devotees might reconsider the sleeves or reusable mugs.
We are going to get hate mail from especially your Rhode Island brethren who are going to be very upset.
While Murphy and his team are still finalizing a rollout schedule, the first priority for replacing foam cups will be given to markets with legislation and bans. Meanwhile, the brand is also in the process of changing the cold cups lids from PET to a recyclable polypropylene, which Raskoff says should remove 500,000 pounds of material from the waste stream every year. And are meeting about more sustainable straw solutions, too. Also, 50 next-generation stores expected to open this year are 25% more energy efficient than standard stores and offer digital kiosks, a drive-through dedicated to app orders, cold brew on tap, and healthier-to-go snacks. All will carry the double-walled paper cups. In January, Dunkin' unveiled one such store in Quincy, Mass., home of its very first store. Daniel, who takes my order at the counter on a late spring day, says the customers know the deal, but they'll still ask for foam, the double cuppers especially. They get mad, but we say it's a foamless store, he says. The good news is that they don't leave. They just ask for double cold cups.
Alyssa Jacoby is a native New Englander and a year-round iced coffee drinker. And Alyssa, by the way, you better not be one of those double cuppers, because that is madness.
And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonpfeiffer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Pfeiffer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonpfeiffer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.